It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. Bill, just yesterday, we were talking about a Colorado school that was toying with the idea of turning the school week into 4 days instead of five. And you and I were talking about how it's just not really fun to go back to school.
Yeah.
And a week from yesterday, I know my kids go back to school, and a lot of kids in the area are heading back to school. There's going to be a big transition, and we get one of our experts on, Lisa Heffernan, New York Times bestselling author and co-founder of a website I frequent pretty much four times a week, grownandflown.com. Lisa, how's it going?
Great, Wendy. Thank you for frequenting us four times a week. That's lovely to hear.
Lisa, do you recommend we send our kids to school?
No. Everybody should just keep them home.
Yep, I'm with you.
I think it's pretty inevitable. And, you know, in the country, there's such a range of dates when kids go back to school, so there's a big wave. It sounds like Chicago's kind of right in the middle of it. Some schools have already gone back, and some kids don't go back till after Labor Day.
And that's the way it used to be. We were talking about that yesterday. It just seemed to be Bill would watch the Jerry Lewis telethon, and then you knew to go get school supplies.
That was it.
And then you got out in June, and we wondered why that changed. We looked it up, and we found out a lot of times they want you to get your finals finished before the Christmas break, and also it gives teachers time to prepare their lessons so the kids do better in these scholastic tests because that's how the school gets money.
Got it, because those are scheduled nationally. That makes sense. You know, one of the problems for kids, though, is that, you know, it feels like summer, and they may not have gotten all that summer reading done or whatever assignments they were given. Middle school and high school kids often have summer reading, and it's kind of easy to let that slip. We've got a group, and I see parents every night posting, he's only got 700 pages to read before the morning. Mm. So if there's one thing parents with a week left at the school probably need to focus on, it's how much of that school reading is left to do, and can they get it done by the time it needs to be done.
What are your thoughts, Lisa, on that summer reading? My kids have blown off a lot of that, and then they're scrambling to get through it. Bill, you and I never, I didn't want to read a book during summer.
No.
I don't know that that's necessary.
No, and kids often don't want to. It's, you know, the summer reading assignments are important to get done because they were assigned. And if a student hasn't done them, a lot of high school teachers who write for us say, own up to it. If you haven't done it, just admit you haven't done it. Don't try and fake it and lie. The last thing you need to do is start off the year with a bad relationship with your teacher. But in terms of more general reading, it's actually super important. Hate to say this, but kids go into that summer slump where they just, they're not reading, they're not writing, they're not using their math brains. And then school is just a bolt from the blue. So if there's a little bit of time left and if they could just pick up a book and just, it's like exercise. You almost just need to get back into it a little bit.
You know, Lisa, during the summer months, I'm a big reader. I'm always reading something, but I didn't want the school to dictate what I was reading. Is there any way to find a compromise in that?
They give you pretty big choices on the lists.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your own reading is just as important. If that's what you were doing as a kid, and if that's what your kids are doing, that is every bit as important. They just need to be reading, just not to let that skill, and even for middle schoolers and high schoolers, it's still a skill, not to let that drop too much over the long summer holiday. So it doesn't really matter what they read. I mean, if there's an assignment that needs to get done, but it's just keeping it going over the summer.
All right.
Now, I know it's stressful for the kids to get back to school, but it's kind of stressful for the parents, too, when the kids get back to school, because all of a sudden, the lazy days of summer, you have to get them there on time, you have to wake teenagers up, which is very difficult. It's an adjustment for both of us, isn't it?
It really is. There's a couple of things. You know, I used to treat it like jet lag. So you get over jet lag an hour a day. I'm not sure I could get my kids to get up an hour earlier every day. But instead of that, just one morning where they're up at 6:15 after having slept till 11, that's just really ugly picture in a lot of families. So if there's a week left, I used to try and adjust my kids a half hour a day and say, look, every day we're just getting up half, and, you know, the eyes would roll back in their heads. You know, I get a lot of negativity, but it does make that first day of school a little better. There's a lot of transitions I need to make also. You know, a lot of kids haven't done a lot of physical fitness over the summer. And they're going back to high school or middle school. They're either going to try out for a team or they're going to have a PE class.
You're going to have to run the mile a couple of times in your PE class.
Exactly. So, you know, even if there's just a week left or in some places if there's more, just trying to get back a little bit physically fit. It's the same as the reading. It's you know, for your body instead of your mind. Just getting prepared by just doing a little bit more exercise than you might have done if you've been playing a little too many video games or inside a little too much, as kids are these days.
So that's changed over the generations, because for me, when I was a kid, that's when I got the most physical activity.
You're on your bike, you're out all day.
Constantly. Yeah.
But there weren't video games when you were growing up like there are today.
I guess.
There was no internet. Yeah. No, we were outside constantly. In fact, we probably started school in our best physical fitness, because once we got into school, we were going to sit in the classroom all day. Kids don't necessarily do that now. And if they're going to be doing something where they're trying out for something, or even if they're going into a regular physical education class, you know, 4 or 5 days a week, it's not a bad idea to get a little prepared for that. The other thing that's really stressful for families, I know it is in my house, is cooking dinner. Everybody's busy going a million different directions. And we always think of family meals as families sitting around the table. So somebody, some adult, some mom or dad prepares a meal and then kids just show up and eat it. Family meals probably should be with some involvement from teenagers in the kitchen. And if you try out a few of those meals before school starts, kind of doing a dry run, what are three meals our family can make super quick that we all love, that are super healthy? Practice some of those while there's more time and just get the timing of them right. And then you've got those sort of two or three meals that, you know, you can just pull out whenever your family needs them. So cooking in this family can be fun, but it also can be preparing for the school year.
That was something I was really adamant about. I wanted to make sure that we had family dinners together as often as possible, every Sunday for sure. And boy, that fell by the wayside when you have a kid who has a job or there's after school activities. It's really tough to make that happen.
Really, really super tough to make it happen. If a kid's on a sports team or in a school play, I mean, those things go very late. But, you know, some of that meal prep can be done also together on a Sunday night. So even if it's great to sit down as a family on Sunday, but you can also, you know, put aside an hour and do some family cooking to prepare for the week, whether it's for lunches or for dinners. And summer is a great time to do some dry runs of those meals so that they go more quickly once the school year begins.
Lisa Heffernan, she used to work, you were a trader, weren't you?
And just I was.
Decided, you know, it wasn't even your kids were home and needed you. Weren't they going to college? When did you make the switch to grownandflown.com?
No. I became a writer when my kids were home and needed me. Yeah, trading is kind of a tough job with kids. The hours are pretty brutal. So, yeah, that's when I left.
And thank God she put together grownandflown.com. We're going to take a quick break. If you have any comments or questions, 312-981-7200. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder at 720 WGN. Hey, y'all. It's back to school time, and we are chatting with Lisa Heffernan. I really do enjoy going to grownandflown.com. A lot of times, Lisa, you do a great job with the website, but I got to tell you, there are some guest articles on here sometimes that really touch me, and I don't know which one to go with, but I'll say this one. Some things I want my son to know before he leaves for college. I texted this to my sons, and I said, they first of all responded, "Oh, God, this is long, Mom. What do you?" I said, just in your own time, just kind of read some of these. And some of these are good. It's advice for your kids, mainly sons going away to school. Some great comments on here. Don't skip the opening band. Once Bono was part of the opening band and then there was U2, need I say more? Just little tips and trades. Be honest and true to who you are. Respect yourself and others. And one of them that I love, anytime, day or night, you can text, call, or Skype your parents and little brothers. We really miss you. Your mom is stocking up on waterproof mascara, and we can't wait to hear about all your firsts in college, first class, first football game, first time you vote. So these are great little tips on sending a son away to school. Would daughters also benefit from these?
Yes, they will. The waterproof mascara is genderless, as is voting. Yeah, we've got some great daughter stuff on the site also. You know, we try and bring a lot of different parent perspectives. Everybody has a different experience with sending their kid off to college. Some parents are just overjoyed and bursting with pride and just don't shed a tear. And other parents,
and then there's Bill.
Truly, yours truly pulled over on the side of the road because she was unable to drive, sobbing so hard. And one of the things we try and tell parents is there isn't a right way or a wrong way. All of these are the right way. Whatever experience you have, that's the right experience.
It's so emotional. I mean, you saw what I went through, Wendy,
I know.
With both of my daughters. And you say to yourself, I know this is coming. It can't, it's not going to destroy me. And then it comes and it does. It destroys you.
Not only is it coming, but it's what you want to come. You know,
sure.
Rob Lowe wrote a great piece about, you know, you're not sending your kid to jail. You're not sending your kid to war. This is what we have always hoped for them. College was where we hoped, you know, their lives would lead at some point.
Yeah. So why does it affect
crying.
Us that if we know it's coming and it's a good thing, why so emotional?
Two things. One is we know that our family is changing forever. And, you know, any of those inflection points in our lives are emotional when we know there is no going back, that a time, you know, the curtain has closed on a particular point in our life. So that part is unavoidable. I think the other point is a little avoidable. We imagine that it's going to be like when we went to college.
Oh, yeah.
We imagine that we're going to talk to our kids once a week, that they're barely going to want to tell us something, and that they're not going to want to be with us.
And it's way different now.
Way different. They are going to communicate with us almost every day. They're going to tell us what they eat because they're going to send us a picture of it. We're going to be electronically connected. And there's a lot of great research. The AARP did some research recently about the difference between the way our generation felt about our kids and the way we felt about our parents. Our kids want to be with us. They listen to us more. They value our opinions more. They want to tell us about their personal lives and their aspirations more. So part of, I think, what happens to us is we bring our own experience into something where our own experience is irrelevant.
Now, kids going away to college, but there are also kids starting high school for the first time. And you mentioned that they want to keep in touch with their families. Another article that's on Grown and Flown is, here's what your high school freshman wants you to know. And one of these things is they want you to know that they still want to hang out with family sometimes, even though they don't act like it. Is that really true?
It really is true. There's, you know, this is, a lot of this is based on research. This generation wants to be with their parents more than any generation did in the past. They still act like sullen teenagers, but they are really happy to be with us, and they really value the experience. And you just need to find those things. I know in my family was watching a lot of 80s movies. So for us, they were great, you know, retreads. We hadn't seen them in whatever years. And for my kids, they were brand new. And it was just such a fun experience. So finding things like that that can bring everyone together, even if you've got a sulky 14-year-old in your midst.
What's up with teenagers, man? I'm telling you.
Yeah, that I can't explain.
But 80s movies is the key. There's something about Anthony Michael Hall that just makes everything soothing, isn't it? I don't know why.
You know, they haven't seen The Breakfast Club, and they haven't seen Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. Roll those movies out, because it's something we all enjoy together.
Sure.
Another one of these high school freshmen, what they want us to know, I want you to expect more from me and then remind me I can do it. I will say this, I get really frustrated when my kids don't do their homework, and so maybe I start to nag a little bit. And you can say, do your homework till you're blue in the face. They're not going to do their homework until they decide to do their homework, and sometimes you got to let them learn on their own.
That is absolutely true. But in these last weeks of summer, we can prepare for the fact that we know that might happen. So if you knew that your kid had trouble with a particular subject last year, or if their problem was organizational, which is, I think, even more common than actually subject problems, you know, just getting the work done in the amount of time, the way it's supposed to be done, you've got another week or two to sit down and talk with your kid. How are we going to do it differently this year? What tools, maybe online tools, maybe apps, are we going to use to keep you organized? Are you going to use to keep you organized? And try and get them to commit to certain things, to certain milestones, to certain homework will be done by X time. You can make certain plans now while things are cool and calm, because I think what you're describing, Wendy, is where we all get to, where it's red hot.
Yep.
You know, they haven't done it. We're angry. Time is ticking. That is not the moment to discuss plans for organization or plans for doing better in a subject. This is the moment to say, you know what, maybe Khan Academy or some of the free, amazing online material is something you should consult more regularly before tests, because we know you had trouble in X subject last year. So now, while things are still cool and calm and we're in summer, it's time to make some agreements maybe around how those things are going to be handled at a better time than once they flare up, as you're describing.
And I can't believe a kid wouldn't go to Khan Academy, I think, .com. It is, any question you have, what is mitochondria, it will be answered.
Wow, really?
Anything. It's like, I wish this was around when we were in high school. I would have gotten straight A's.
Yeah, it's relatively new. It's an amazing tool to study for exams. You know, go watch those lectures on something that you might have learned in class. It just isn't completely clear to you. It's an invaluable tool, and kids are so lucky to have it.
Is it a computer answering these questions, or is it human beings?
No, isn't it a man whose daughter went away to school, or he was on a business trip, and he wanted to help her study, so he put these things together? Am I somewhat right on that?
It was Saul Khan is the organizer, and I don't know if it was a daughter or a niece. Something makes me think I don't know the whole story, but he started with one or two subjects for a high school student, and then the site has just expanded. So it's not now all him because there's so much content, but it is for kids at all levels. It's their videos, and they're real human beings.
Wow,
it's amazing.
Impressive.
We should study that when we get off the air
as
so we sound smarter.
Yep.
Lisa, it is a pleasure to talk to you.
Lisa, you agreed very quickly on that. Thanks for appreciate it.
Do you have a kid going back to school? I believe it was Mary Vandeveld who does traffic for us, who said this is the first time in 27 years she doesn't have someone going back to school. You still have someone starting school, don't you?
No. You're done? I'm in her exact same position. My youngest graduated in June.
Congratulations.
Yep. So it's my first time in probably that many years as well.
Feels good, huh?
Keep helping us, okay?
I'm here for you. I love being on your show. Thank you.
Thanks, Lisa.
She's amazing. Lisa Heffernan, one of the co-founders of Grown and Flown. She's also a New York Times bestselling author and just pretty cool. So grownandflown.com, a quick break, and we'll come back and see what's coming up on the Wintrust Business Lunch.